In the first section of 1 Corinthians, Paul rebukes these Christians who were behaving in a rather infantile manner. The Corinthians were being of the flesh in all their jealousy and their strife and division. So Paul reminds the saints there at Corinth that it's not their church. It's God's church. And we're going to read Paul tell them here in chapter 3. This is God's field. It's God's building. While we're going to read the first part of chapter 3, we're going to go on into verses 10 through 17. That's really the passage we're going to be especially considering together. Where Paul goes on to speak of the church as God's building, and he gives this very serious warning. Everyone at work in this house of God had better take care how he or she builds on the foundation, which is Christ Jesus. So the sermon title tonight, taken from our passage, take care how you build in God's church. Take care how you build. This is the word of God, his holy and living word from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we start at verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Word of God this evening from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as you know, there are so many people today who consider themselves Christian, yet have nothing to do with the visible church. It simply does not suit them to have a real connection to a local congregation. They imagine they can have union with Christ, the head of the church, but they need no union with his body, which is the church itself. But of course, there is this other problem, and I would argue it's a bigger problem. So many professing Christians attend worship services, maybe on a very regular basis, perhaps even church members, but they maintain a consumer approach to the Christian faith and to the Christian church. What can the church do for me? Is it going to entertain me today? Is the body of Christ and the things that happen there in the worship service, are those things that make me feel good? And of course, there is the more sophisticated version, right? Those, especially in our circles, who want good teaching. Just give me the pure word of God. Satisfy my hunger for the truth. I'll eat and go home and be happy. Everything will be good. Brothers and sisters, we all need to learn. And we need to eat so that we can grow. And we should come to God's house every Lord's Day expecting those very things to happen through the ordinary means of grace, word and sacrament, prayerful use of word and sacrament. But as you, beloved in the Lord, as you consider your connection to the Church of Christ, are you at all intentional about participating in the work of building God's house? Are you mindful at all about what you're doing to contribute to the construction of God's holy temple? Brings us to our theme tonight. There are many comforts to enjoy in God's house. But Christians are also called to engage in careful construction of God's holy temple. We're not supposed to be consumers. People who come to the church simply to engage in one sort of consumption or another. You know, munching a little here, munching a little over there. We get our fill and we leave. Been satisfied. We got what we wanted. Go home. We who trust in Christ for salvation are called by our God to the work of continuing the construction of His house, a holy and living temple. Dear saints, that's very serious business. So give heed to the word of God this evening. Let each of you take care how he or she builds God's house. If my kids want to, go camping this time of year, they are going to stay inside the house where it's warm and dry. Their tent will be built out of blankets, haphazardly stretched over some furniture. It's only play, and it's going to last only a very little while. So naturally, the materials they use in their construction project are not very good materials, and they're not going to take much care in the work of constructing. It would be a very different story if my family needed to build a house in which we would live for decades, right? Brothers and sisters, how much more careful must we be in our work of construction on the house that belongs to Almighty God? It's His church. Not the building. I don't mean the church building, that structure that we see around us this evening, but God's living temple, His everlasting dwelling place with His people. Be careful how you build, beloved. Consider what impact your work has on God's holy temple. Paul gives this warning to Christian construction workers, as it were, because the fact is, we are not all of us doing the same kind of work in God's house. That's just a fact. We're not all doing the same kind of work. And this is something that comes out of the text as well. We're not all doing work of equal value. Some Christians are more faithful than others in building on the foundation, which is Christ. And you'll see this explicitly here in verses 12 and 13. Paul says, "Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done." And so, friends, the first point, take care how you build, for God's fire will test your faithfulness to the foundation. Take care how you build, because God's fire will test your faithfulness to the foundation, and that foundation is Christ crucified. Laying the foundation is the most important part of constructing any building, right? You get that part wrong, the foundation laying part, and the whole thing can come crashing down to the ground in pieces. This was Paul's particular task, right? He clearly considered himself faithful in that work of laying the foundation. He says in verse 10, like a skilled master builder. The word he uses in Greek, wise. He knew what he was doing. A skilled master builder, I laid a foundation. He knew what he was doing and he did it well. He considered himself a faithful servant of God in laying the foundation of God's house. It can sound like boasting. I realize that. But Paul was a humble servant of God. He knew that God graciously gave him this work. More than that, Paul knew that God graciously equipped him to do this work and to do it well. So Paul's not engaging in any sinful kind of boasting here, but he was an expert craftsman. Because he was an apostle, called by God and equipped by the Holy Spirit to do the special work of laying the foundation of God's temple. And that's something about which Paul writes in Ephesians as well. You can just listen to those words from Ephesians 2. This is what Paul says there at the end of the chapter, Ephesians 2:19. He says to the saints in Ephesus, "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens. You Gentile Christians are no longer far off from God, but you are fellow citizens with the saints," with Israel, believing Jews, okay? "You're members of the household of God, of his family, of God's house. You belong to it. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure," notice the similar language here in Ephesians 2, "the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him," that is in Christ, "you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." That's the end of Ephesians 2. Christ, the cornerstone of God's house, right? He's the most important part. How could the apostles and prophets be the foundation of that temple, that living temple of God? These are just servants in the house, in the household of faith, right? Well, you understand, prophets and apostles were the men who first were called to preach Christ after his resurrection and ascension, of course. They were sent by Christ himself into the world preaching the gospel. And so you understand, friends, it's not especially the preacher who matters for that foundation, but it's what he preaches. Better, it's who the preacher preaches, Christ and him crucified, which was Paul's point back in chapter 2. Paul did not preach about himself. He was faithful in proclaiming Christ, Christ crucified. There can be no other foundation. If it's going to be God's house, that building's foundation can be none other than Christ Jesus. And that's what Paul says in verse 11. No one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. But as important as the foundation is to the identity and to the integrity of this house of God, the foundation is obviously not the whole structure. Something has to be built on top of it, right? So Paul says, let each one be careful how he builds on top of that foundation. Too many Christians have missed the point here. They've missed it by thinking that Paul must be directing this warning only to other gospel ministers, such as Apollos. Right, Paul came first to Corinth. He's the one who planted. He says Apollos came afterward and watered. So Paul laid the foundation. Apollos came afterward and was building upon it. Certainly the language of our text tonight applied to Apollos. He needed to be careful like any other gospel minister. It applies to us today in the ministry of the word of Christ Jesus. We must be careful in how we build on the foundation. But friends, listen. If each of you believed that all the work of building the church was to be done by your pastor, he would most definitely burn out. And that would be very bad for you because the local congregation would not properly grow. Remember, Paul said in Ephesians 2, which I just read from Ephesians 2 a moment ago, he said that the church grows into a holy temple. Later in Ephesians 4, Paul tells us how that growth happens. Do you remember what he says there? I'll just quote a little bit more from Ephesians 4, verse 11. Paul says there that the ascended Lord Jesus poured out gifts upon his church. 4:11, he says he gave the apostles, prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, pastors, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Growing into Christian maturity depends very much on the ministry of the word. But if you disciples are growing by that word, you begin to bring that word one to another. And I'm talking to all of you, no matter your personality, doesn't matter how shy you are versus how extroverted and outgoing. It doesn't matter how old you are and knowledgeable or how young you are. If you're children of God growing by the word, Paul envisions that we will be equipped by the word and the Holy Spirit to speak the truth to one another in love for the building up of the body. Verse 15, rather, speaking the truth in love, we all of us are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint. That's each one of you. Held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. See, friends, each one of us is called to do the work of building up the body, continuing the work of building God's holy temple. So Paul's warning in 1 Corinthians 3 is not strictly about how gospel teachers and pastors build on the foundation. It's for every single one of you. Let each of you take care how you build on the foundation, because your work is going to be tested by fire. In verses 12 and 13, Paul explains that some are more faithful than others in their construction work. Wise workers in the house of God are going to use gold, silver, precious stones, fine building materials, right? Materials that are worthy of that precious foundation, the precious cornerstone, which is Christ, right? On the other hand, there are those unwise workers or less wise construction workers in God's house who use wood, hay, straw, not fine building materials because they're all flammable. They burn. Dear saints, I realize none of us is literally using gold or silver or straw or hay or wood in building up God's holy temple, the church. We're not talking about this structure, the church building. We're talking about the living holy temple of God, which is the people of God, the church, the body of Christ, the family of God. None of us are using these physical materials, but make sure that you do not take the fire metaphorically. Take it literally, because our works are not merely supposed to stand the test of time. We want them to make it through the fire of God that is to come at the end of time, on the day of judgment. Verses 13 and following, each one's work will become clear for the day, capitalized in our Bibles, because it's judgment day. The day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is, its quality, you see. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Now, listen. Paul is not saying that you need to do faithful work to save yourself. Let's be very clear about this. He's not saying your unfaithful work is going to cause you to lose your salvation. Brothers and sisters, left to ourselves, our best works deserve damnation. That's the truth. We merit nothing. We're not talking about earning salvation or any such thing tonight, okay? Let's be very clear about that. We sinners are saved by the righteous work of God's Son in our flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose obedience unto death delivers us from the hell we deserve, merits for us everlasting life in God's kingdom, which we could never deserve. It's a free gift of God's grace. Listen, trust in Christ Jesus, the only Savior. Trust in all He's done for sinners, and you will be saved. And you will never lose that salvation, a gift of God's grace. But brothers and sisters, while our works merit nothing, nevertheless, they do matter. They matter to God, who's to be honored through our works. They will matter to us on the day of judgment. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, Paul says, we must all, he's talking about us Christians, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body. How often we hear that Christians saying this nonsense that we're not going to be judged. We are most definitely going to be judged. And it's a judgment according to works. It's not about your earning salvation, because that's been done by Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:28 says, we expect Him to come back and not to deal with our sins. Isn't that a wonderful passage? He's already done that when He died for them on the cross. We expect Him to come back as our Savior, who's going to grant us the fullness of salvation on that great day of judgment. But He is going to deal with His servants and reward in grace those who served Him faithfully. That's what Paul's talking about here. A reward, make sure you heard what I said, not merited. We don't merit our salvation. We don't merit any rewards. They're all gifts of grace by which God's crowning earlier gifts of His grace. Those who engage in faithful construction work, faithfully building on the foundation, they can expect a reward. Listen, this is what I mean. If you take to heart the gospel of Christ crucified so that it forms you into a humble servant who lives by faith in your Savior, a servant, a humble servant who loves your brothers and sisters so that God's holy temple continues to grow, such faithful service will survive the fire of God's testing, and you will then receive a reward through His grace. As you enter into the kingdom, the Lord Jesus will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over the little that I entrusted to you. Now I will set you over much. Matthew 25:21, that parable of the talents, if you recall. Other Christians will not be found so faithful to the foundation. Much of their work will not survive the fire of God's testing on the day of judgment. Now, they will survive. Those Christians, even who have less faithful service, yes, indeed, they survive, because they're Christians who are still going to be saved by God's grace, but they will just barely survive. That's what Paul says here. They're like a branch that's right there near the fire, close to being burned up on the day of judgment, but they're snatched out in time. All their works that were not so very valuable, not faithfully built on the foundation of Christ crucified, those works will burn away, come to nothing. But God's children, even those less faithful servants, they will survive through grace and be brought into the kingdom of glory. Verse 15. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. Do you want God's fire on that day of judgment to reveal in the end that you were faithful to the foundation? Let each of you take care how you build upon the foundation. My friend, God calls you today to engage in critical examination of your own work. I imagine it, up till now, there have been some of you in the house of God who've thought about your service and you've thought about somebody's service next to you or on that side of the congregation or over there in front or maybe behind you, comparing. It's exactly what the Corinthians were guilty of doing, and we all do it at some point to some degree. But Paul has no such thing in mind. Let each one of you on your own, before the face of God, consider if you are faithfully building on the foundation. Pay attention to your works. It's not your job to judge the works, critically to examine the works of your fellow Christian. Corinthians were very critical of Paul's ministry. Many of them dismissed him as having been deficient in wisdom and eloquence. In speaking, he was weak in the pulpit, you might say. And they were dividing up into those different camps and being very critical of one another. They forgot that it's God's church. It's His building. Well, you know what, brothers and sisters? Sometimes we forget that it's God's church, don't we? And that God is the rightful judge who will test our work on the last day and reward us accordingly. And yes, allow some of us to suffer the loss of reward as well. Are you jealous of anyone in the church? Do you envy them for the position they have that you'd like for yourself? Do you gossip about someone's poor performance in that ministry over there or this act of service over here? Are you striving with someone in the local congregation for control over some ministry in which you're both engaged? Do you reward those who pass the tests that you give? And on the other hand, penalize those who fail under your critical examination. Listen, you need to repent if that's the case. And I know it is for some of you tonight. You need to repent because you've taken God's place. And you are doing work that you should never try to do, work that cannot build up the church. It will only tear it down and damage God's holy temple. And you need to repent because Paul has a very, very serious, woeful word of warning about damnation to those who destroy the holy temple of God. Look in conclusion at these last two verses here, 16 and 17. He says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." And so, friends, in my concluding point here, secondly, and a very brief point in comparison with the first, take care how you build, for God's fire will destroy the faithless, whose work damages and defiles the church. Take care how you build, for God's fire will destroy the faithless, whose work damages and defiles the church. Paul can speak of the individual Christian being a temple of the Holy Spirit. He's going to do that later in chapter 6. But in this passage, he's not talking about us as individuals being a temple of the Spirit. He's talking about all of us together being a corporate body of believers knit together, different stones, as Peter puts it, right? Who are fitted together according to the foundation, the cornerstone, Christ, and we are all of us that temple of God. He's saying effectively, do you not know that you all are God's temple, all of you together, that God's Spirit dwells in you all, who gather together as the church, as God's covenant people? Here's another place where we can easily misunderstand Paul if we do not pay attention to the context. He's not warning. You have to appreciate this, friends. He is not warning outsiders that God's going to destroy them if they persecute his church. Paul is directing this warning to insiders. He's directing this warning to church members whose so-called Christian service is so self-centered and proud, so judgmental and critical, that instead of building up God's holy temple, they keep tearing it down, damaging it, and defiling it. And some of you might be thinking at this point, wait a minute, Pastor, nobody can destroy God's church. What does Jesus say in Matthew 16? He's building his church till the end of the age, and the gates of Hades shall never prevail against that church. It can't be destroyed. Pastor, if you're talking about those people who generally live in this way of doing damage to the church, well, Pastor, those aren't Christians. You're absolutely right. They are not Christians. And that's exactly Paul's point, which is why he's warning such people about damnation. You look to damage God's holy temple, his house, his church. Watch out, because God's coming to destroy you. Wow. This is why, friends, I use the word faithless. I'm talking about people who really are not true believers in Christ. They are literally faithless. They don't have true faith in Christ crucified. So you have, on the one hand, those construction workers who might do some rather shoddy work in constructing God's holy house. On the other hand, there are people in the church who are really doing destructive work. And they can destroy the local congregation. It happens all the time. They only want to fuss and fight in the interest of building up their own kingdom. It really damages God's holy temple, and we can be sure God will destroy the faithless for such a crime. Dear saints, please do not dismiss this warning on account of your confidence that you are a believer, a true Christian, to whom such warnings could not apply. Listen, brothers and sisters, we true believers take heed to such warnings and pray that the Holy Spirit would show us if there is any faithlessness in us so that we might repent and live. True believers do not presumptuously ignore warnings about false believers, faithless sinners in the house of God who are going to be damned. You don't want those words to apply to you. Take heed to the warning. Repent of any faithless way in you and look to God for mercy and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Do take heed, all of you. Take heed how you build, that there be no faithless way in you that leads to damaging the house of God. Jealousy, selfish rivalry, ambition, malice, such sin really does harm other Christians. You see, it's ultimately a sin against the Holy Spirit because it damages that holy temple of God in which the Spirit dwells. It damages our life together. And listen, it ruins the most important part of our witness in the world, which is our love for one another. Take a good look at yourselves today, brothers and sisters. But if you want hope, if you need more healing of that proud, self-centered heart inside of you, as I know I need inside of me, look again to Christ crucified. He is the foundation of the church. He is the measure of our faithfulness. But Jesus is also that living, ruling Savior who alone has the power to free each one of us from all that binds. He's the Savior who alone can fix all that is broken in his house. As the Apostle Peter reminds us, 1 Peter 2:24, he, Christ Jesus himself, bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. May we all return to him, our great shepherd and savior, Jesus Christ, even now, in repentance and faith. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.